You've heard me say for years that NT Factor is the breakthrough supplement that's proven to repair and renew your body's cells. That includes your immune cells, such as your T cells and white blood cells. NT Factor has been shown to contribute to a more robust and effective immune response. So now that we're in cold and flu season, NT Factor is combining with powerful antioxidants, vitamin C and D, to provide you with an immune booster bundle. Vitamin C and D help stimulate the production of white blood cells and activate immune cells, which play a key role in defending against pathogens. Together with NT Factor, they help modulate immune function, reduce inflammation, and promote overall immune health. For a limited time, buy a bottle of NT Factor with D3K2 and get a bottle of C1000 with NT Factor absolutely free. That's a savings of over $26. Just go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Save over $26 on the powerful cocktail of vitamins C and D with NT Factor at ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's an opportunity to send your question via email to questions@drhoffman.net, and we'll answer your questions as promptly as possible. So what's our next question, Layla?
Okay, we've got an email from Lisa. Love your podcast and take much of your advice, especially concerning supplements. I've been taking Rejactiv, and now my husband has been hearing a lot of chatter on social media about magnesium. We currently take magnesium glycinate, but should we be taking a different form of magnesium, like a magnesium bisglycinate chelate, or some other form? What's the best one?
Okay. So, by the way, you mentioned Rejactiv, which is a product that is kind of a companion product to Dr. Hira's probiotic. It's a unique probiotic that generates glutathione. You know that probiotics have the ability to synthesize, in some cases, vitamins. For example, vitamin K is synthesized by some of the bacteria that belong in our microbiome. And they uncovered one, I believe the origin of that was in the country of Estonia on the Baltic, where researchers developed a strain that manufactures glutathione, which is kind of cool because it's, you know, putting glutathione back in your GI tract, like your own internal factory of glutathione, because it's kind of not that bioavailable when you take it by mouth. Okay, so coming up to the magnesium question, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, magnesium glycinate and magnesium bisglycinate are the same. I'd have to do a little research. So these are chelated forms of magnesium. It's magnesium bound to a glycine, which is a good thing in itself. Glycine has some really good properties. It has, you know, when taken at bedtime, it actually supports sleep and relaxation. But it also has some purported anti-aging properties, so we tend to not get enough glycine. But it is gentle. It's a gentle form of magnesium. The problem with the magnesium glycinate molecule is that it's so big that it is doesn't deliver as much magnesium as, for example, magnesium citrate, which is a smaller molecule. But magnesium citrate, on the other hand, tends to run through you. It has a laxative property, so it's less gentle.
It's great for constipation. Yes. I've come across, you know, new clients who are complaining of diarrhea, and I'm investigating, and they're telling me they're taking magnesium citrate for muscle cramps. I said, hey, let's switch that over to magnesium glycinate or magnesium malate or one of those, which has less tendency to soften stool like fat.
So there's a new kid on the block, which is magnesium threonate, which purports to cross the blood-brain barrier more effectively than other forms of magnesium. I think there's some research that supports that. So what's the importance of magnesium in the brain? Well, magnesium has a bit of a anti-anxiety effect, a bit of a mildly sedating effect. Some people report that when they take magnesium threonate or even magnesium in general, that they sleep better, that they relax more, they have less in the way of muscle cramps. But I think you want to be taking magnesium because of the NHANES study, which is a large nutritional study of the American population, shows that about 80% of people don't get optimal levels, don't have an optimal intake of magnesium because of the food supply, which is bereft of magnesium.
Mm-hmm. And then you couple that with stress and a poor diet, that burns up magnesium.
Diabetes,
so most people are low.
Magnesium. You leak magnesium. And certain medications cause us to lose magnesium, many medications, especially diuretics. So, magnesium's a really good bet. And the nice thing about magnesium, it's kind of hard to OD on magnesium unless, you're on dialysis or some, on kidney failure, you have to watch out.
Yes.
But it's one of those kind of self-regulating things where it's hard to, you'll know if you get too much magnesium, you're going to be right of the bathroom.
Yes. That's your tell right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you got to lean back on the dose of magnesium. So Lisa, there you go. Okay.
But if you're really jumpy, if you really start at loud noises, or if you have like some people have that kind of little annoying eyelid twitch, or they have like little fasciculations of their muscles.
Yes.
Sometimes that's a sign of magnesium deficiency, and it can be alleviated with taking adequate magnesium.
Yes. There we go. All right. We've got a question here from, I just have initials, M-E-W. M-E-W is wondering, it's Mary. Her name is Mary.
Okay.
She's wondering.
M-E-W, is it a cat person? I'm just saying it was cat lady.
Right.
Mew.
So Mary is asking, is there any other way that I can up my nitric oxide level besides maybe taking the Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplement? But what about something like potassium nitrate powder? Or what do you think of a green smoothie where I could get all the nice nitrates from vegetables?
Okay. Well,
and the beet powder and stuff like that.
So there's this thing that actually won the Nobel Prize, which is the discovery of the nitric oxide pathway. It's a chemical messenger that does a lot of things in the body, but especially it dilates arteries. It's a signaling molecule that causes blood vessels to expand. So that could be beneficial in improving circulation. It could also be beneficial in alleviating high blood pressure, right? So there are two types of nitrates. There are organic nitrates, which are especially prevalent in certain foods, like beets especially. Also, arugula is fairly high in nitrates, so it's kind of interspersed in the vegetable kingdom. Some other sources?
Celery,
okay, yeah.
Celery is a big one.
Yeah.
Some people I know will wake up in the morning and have a glass of celery juice.
In fact, they use celery extract in natural bacon because the nitrates—
And other cold cuts.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of nitrites, which are added, sodium nitrite— which is added to conventional bacon. We're concerned about the adverse effects of the sodium nitrite. I'm not sure that that's been clearly established, but they say that it might be a potential carcinogen. It is present in a lot of processed meat, luncheon meats, bologna and things like that, sodium nitrite, because it helps it.
It's a preservative.
It keeps it looking pink and turning gray. Nobody wants like a gray bologna, right?
No. And you don't want to get E. coli either. So these preservatives are actually important.
Yeah. So they're added to alternatives is so there's organic, which is from plant sources, dietary nitrates. And then there's inorganic, which is an example of which is potassium nitrate, which you can get as a supplement. And the question is, are they different? And I have a study in front of me because we do have some anticipation of the questions we're going to get. So I looked it up, and there's actually a study which looks at muscle strength in mice and the impact of potassium nitrate on that. Now, it looks has a chemical name, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Potassium is beneficial, right? Not a bad thing. Because we, many of us, you don't get enough potassium, particularly if you don't eat, you know, a plant-based diet. And so they found that after the feeding period, the muscle was evaluated, and they found improvement of muscle size of 13% compared to controls. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe I should start taking that. Muscle-specific force increased by 38%. So we got super mice with the potassium nitrate. And so their comment on that in the discussion, they say, we know that nitric oxide is good. Beetroot became popular recently, has the dominant source of dietary nitrates due to its vast availability and simple form of preparation suitable for final consumption in supplements, for example. Mm-hmm. But the question is, would not inorganic forms of nitrate perform as well? And their conclusion is that there's no harmful effect and that there may be a beneficial effect. So, you know, I think it's a matter of some controversy as to how best to boost your nitric oxide. You can also boost your nitric oxide with things like arginine and ornithine through a different pathway. There's really two pathways. One is to supply the nitrates, either inorganic or organic nitrates, and the other is to take arginine ornithine. And oh, by the way, Viagra, and Levitra, and all these erectile dysfunction medications, they're based on enhancing nitric oxide by those medications. Yes. What they do is they don't boost dietary nitrates. They actually prevent the breakdown of nitric oxide. They work on, kind of, if you use a bathtub analogy, they're the stopper of the bathtub. Dietary nitrates are turning the faucet on to fill the bathtub faster. But
okay. So there you go, Mary. Thank you for that very, very thoughtful question. Keep eating your good food.
Yeah. You can boost your, I think this is one of the things that could be part of an overall dietary program, supplement program, is to take either a beet extract or a celery extract, as you suggest, to take potentially potassium nitrate. There's no big downside on that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Good
Mary,
point of which
thank
to,
you.
We've got introduce a sponsor. For a Great. Message. So listen up. Let's hear what they have to say.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Of course, they are what make intelligent medicine a continued free resource to you. That is our business model. I think it's not unduly obtrusive to periodically hear a message from one of the sponsors that we very carefully vet and whose products we endorse wholeheartedly.
And remember that you could shop hundreds of curated vetted supplements in Dr. Hoffman's Fullscript dispensary. That's at drhoffmanstore.com, drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. and the very same supplements that Dr. Hoppen takes, I take as well, and that are prescribed to patients and clients.
Indeed.
And buying through FullScript offers fast free shipping, optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, it's secure, and it includes world-class customer service.
Yeah,
I love FullScript.
They do a good job.
Yep.
I think, you know, last week I said, wait a minute, I'm looking at my iPad during the podcast. I said, you know, I just ordered stuff yesterday, but I have a delivery. And I said, that can't be.
Isn't that great?
I can't be that when I ordered. And then after the podcast, I went downstairs to the lobby because I'm living on the 21st floor, and the concierge showed me that I had a package. And indeed, it was from FullScript.
There you go.
How do they do it? It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Okay.
So actually, we have a question, I think, that pertains to FullScript, right?
Let's see here. Oh, yes. This actually comes from Ed and June. Okay. Number one, why is NT Factor Powder shown as discontinued on FullScript? And number two, why is Timeline MitoPure no longer found either on Dr. Hoppen's sites?
And the answer is, I mean, when we tell you to go to FullScript for all your supplement needs, it's not quite accurate because some of the things that we mention, the sponsor or the maker of the supplement will prefer to sell directly. So they've got thousands and thousands of different supplements and, you know, scores and hundreds of brands on FullScript. But some supplement companies prefer to sell direct to consumer. And the folks at ntfactor.com, makers of NT Factor, they're kind of half in FullScript and half out. So they it's kind of ambiguous. So you can get some of their products some of the time there, but they mostly, you get their stuff directly via ntfactor.com, or they have an 800 number. You order direct. So that's, and then I'm not sure that MitoPure, which is from Timeline Company, which makes the urolithin product, which I think is very promising, and I get it directly from them. And they, in turn, have become a sponsor, and not because, you know, they came to me, I came to them. I said, hey, you know, I love your stuff, I'm taking it, I want to get the word out. And they said, oh, great. You know, so they became a sponsor, but you order directly from Timeline. I don't think that they're carried at all on FullScript. And, you know, for various reasons, I don't know, maybe commercial reasons, they couldn't come up with the right formula to distribute via FullScript. But most of the big companies distribute their products through FullScript. You know, companies like Orthomolecular and,
Allergy Research
and Protocol for Light Balance. PFLB, Protocol for Light Balance, is also a sponsor. They're there on FullScript. Thorn, you know, which has previously been a sponsor. The big companies utilize FullScript to distribute their products.
Yeah. Ed and June, thank you very much. And for those of you who are also wondering, there's the answer. Okay.
Yeah. So if you see a product that is discontinued, it doesn't mean that it's not available elsewhere. It just may not be. They might not be doing business anymore with FullScript. It doesn't mean it's gone.
Yeah. Okay. We've got an email from Daniel. I had dental implants done. No grafting was needed. But the doctor mentioned I had good bone, but it was soft. I take 5,000 IU of vitamin D3 daily and 2 100 micrograms of K2. Should I be concerned? Are there other supplements I should be taking?
Yeah, I don't know what the implications are of what this dentist is seeing in the jaw, that it's soft bone, or maybe just by virtue of working in the mouth, you know, they can actually ascertain that the jaw, that the bone characteristics are softer than optimal. So is that associated with a higher risk of bone problems elsewhere in the body? Maybe, but in some cases there's a disconnect, you know, that the mouth has a distinct change, which is local and not a reflective of a systemic problem. So I, you know, get standard testing, and these days it's the DEXA, and see if you're subject to osteoporosis. This is a guy, right? And often men are screened for osteoporosis. So men, you know, if you're over 65 or 70, you can wait a little later than women, unless you have a strong reason to suspect you have osteoporosis, like a fracture, or if you've been on high dose prednisone, or, you know, then you can wait a little longer because your bones are generally stronger and they deteriorate later than women. But men should get screened. The vitamin D and K might be good for bone, but actually studies show that vitamin D is maybe necessary for bone, but not adequate to fend off osteoporosis on its own. There may be other reasons for osteoporosis or loss of bone. You know, certainly localized inflammation or infection in the mouth can soften the bone.
Lifelong use of steroids for things like asthma.
And unfortunately, here's an example of where there's a disconnect. You know, as you know, Layla, we identified this early on when we used to do seminars, you know, in-person seminars, this phenomenon of people taking bisphosphonates, which is Actonel, Beneva,
Fosamax.
And Fosamax. That category of medication can cause osteonecrosis of the jaw, which is a softening or deterioration. So while it's supposedly enhancing bone in the femur and in the vertebrae, there's a paradoxical effect that it weakens bone elsewhere. So that's shows you that there is a potential, you know, like a paradoxical effect in your mouth.
Yeah, bisphosphonates, unfortunately, they slow down the turnover of bone.
Yeah,
but you don't want to slow it down that much, because then we're left with fertile old bone. People think that bone is not a living tissue. It is living tissue, and it needs to be turned over, just like your skin. You
it
know,
undermines
when you slough
bone
off skin cells.
Quality it undermines bone quality. It increases bone quantity, but more quantity isn't necessarily more quality. You know, you know, if we drafted 10 million men in the United States to bolster our armed forces, it wouldn't necessarily mean that we had a stronger defense posture, you know, if they were poorly organized.
Yes. Yes. There you go. So, Dan, it's worth some investigation. Glad your implants didn't need any grafting.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, well, so, and that...
It's quite the procedure.
The key is implant. I mean, when you have an implant, that's, you know, they're going to get in there, you know, up to their elbows in your jawbone to put those, I mean, figuratively, to basically drill out your jawbone to have a place to anchor the implant. So that speaks to some appreciation of the hardness or softness of the bone. But, you know, the implications thereof are, you know, you have to investigate whether the rest of your bone elsewhere in the body is affected.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. We've got an email from Marlene. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I saw an article about taking a supplement that increases pentadecanoic acid, which supposedly increases health and longevity. I've never heard of this fatty acid before. Do you have an opinion on it?
First, from the nomenclature, it's a 5-10, you know, long chain fatty, saturated fatty acid.
Saturated fatty acid.
Yeah.
It's a saturated fatty acid. It's an odd chain saturated fatty acid, maybe because of the number 15. It is found in food. It's found in dairy fat. It's found in some meat. It's found in some seafood, as well as produce.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of found everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is
it found in omega-3 supplements? No.
Likely not.
Okay. So it's not...
It's a saturated fatty acid, which is a little different.
It's not a polyunsaturated.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing I wonder about, Dr. Hoffman. Taking a supplement that increases, why don't we just eat food to get it?
Right. Is there any good research? Did you find any good research that suggests that it's kind of an elixir or anything in a particular? So it's one of these, I guess, I haven't really heard too much about it, but if I look it up, is there any good scientific literature?
There is. I'm looking at PLOS One, and there's a growing body of evidence supporting that pentadecanoic acid is an essential fatty acid, and that it is necessary in the diet to support long-term metabolic and heart health.
That's right.
And they're actually comparing it.
This is
to EPA.
You know, I'm surprised that you said that, but I'm looking here at once again Wikipedia. You know, I think Wikipedia can be reliable for some things.
For some things, you got to be careful. We got to take it with. We got to approach it with scrutiny.
No, but I think this is a very wonky scientific article. They say that it has been compared to EPA to evaluate the possibility that pentadecanoic acid is a previously unrecognized essential fatty acid, which surprises me. Then, you know, are there purported health benefits? Let me see. I think it's one of those kind of newish things.
Well, here's the thing. Because it's a saturated fatty acid, there is more and more evidence that is pointing towards us being more omnivore, carnivore, rather than completely herbivore. We're not rabbits. We greatly benefit from eating meat, which is where saturated fatty acids are, as well as the other acids, some of the polyunsaturates, the monounsaturates as well. You know, half of lard or beef tallow is about 48% to 50%. Unsaturated, but saturated fats are actually good for us.
So let's put this on the radar screen, okay? Because I'm looking at an article here, and you know, sometimes these articles, frankly, are promotional, but it did make its way into the NCBI, National Library of Medicine, NIH database from a journal called Nutrients. Pentadecanoic acid is an essential fatty acid and shares clinically relevant cell-based activities with leading longevity-enhancing compounds. And they go over it, and it's like, you know, maybe this is something to investigate. They say it's pleiotropic. Pleiotropic means it has multifactorial benefits. AMPK, PPAR activation, mTOR. Let's go to these. Almost too good to be true stories, anti-aging, blah, blah, blah. So, this is not a fly-by-night player. I think it's one of the things that maybe we should, I'm not endorsing it. I just think it's worthy of some additional consideration and some more studies and investigation.
Our edge
against it is that it is ubiquitous in the food supply, so we should have a diversity of food intakes.
What I do like is what they found here. They say that clinically relevant benefits that have been observed in vivo, which is great, in the body rather than in the petri dish. So that's encouraging. Let's see where they go with this and what else we find out about it going forward. It'll be interesting
to watch. Broad anti-aging claims. They compare it to rapamycin, which is kind of the vogue longevity drug these days. I'll share the article with you because once we take notice of something, we can then start seeing if there are more hits, because sometimes something is just a flash of the pan. There's like a brief evanescent mention of it, and then 5 or 10 or 15 years hence, we won't hear more about it. But it may be one of those next big thing type things.
Right. Yeah, so we'll keep our eye on it. Thank you, Marlene, for bringing this to our attention.
Yeah, we have great listeners. Our listeners are holistic bird dogs. They track down stuff for us.
Okay. Let's see. We've got an email here from Lou. Several years ago, I noticed early signs of Parkinson's, and I started to research treatments. I found some references to pregnenolone, so I embarked on a regimen of low dose and increased slowly until I saw an improvement in my symptoms. But after a period, the symptoms started to reappear.
Yeah.
So I upped my dose slowly over time, reaching 500 milligrams a day. I've used it for several years. My question to you, what is my long-term prognosis? I'm an 85-year-old male. I have thyroid disease, which I treat with Synthroid.
Okay, well, that's whole stuff is kind of not germane, because that would be part of like a very detailed overall assessment of the person. Let's address the question, is pregnenolone good for the brain, and does it have some potential for Parkinson's disease? And what pregnenolone is, it's kind of like the mother of all hormones. It's it's up the river more towards the source than progesterone, which it sounds like, pregnenolone. But it's also a precursor to DHEA. And so what that suggests that it has the ability to be a precursor hormone, which is good, but also a little concerning because, you know, you start messing with hormones, like, you know, is it going to have a beneficial or an adverse effect? So, but in and of itself, it is a neurosteroid, which means that it works in the brain as, with an anti-inflammatory effect. So it has been proposed, and I wrote an article about this a while back, as a treatment for pain, and it may have brain preservative effects. It may also have beneficial effects for mood, like in refractory depression, you know, very serious depression that doesn't respond. You know, many people take antidepressants, and they don't get any better. So pregnenolone has been looked at for that. So one of the interesting things about pregnenolone is that it sounds like a medication, but you can buy it over the counter. And the dosage that this guy is taking is about the right dose to see an effect. Okay?
Yeah.
A caution is if he has like active prostate cancer, maybe there's an anabolic effect. Got to be a little careful with that. But maybe. Not for sure. And I don't think there's any evidence that it causes prostate cancer. So look, this sounds a little iffy because when you start taking a new thing with great hope and expectation, there's a placebo effect. And he got a little better, and then placebo effects tend to recede after a period of time. But he upped his dose and he seems to be doing better. Then he asks the question, is there any hope for his Parkinson's? Well, that, you know, that's a whole other discussion, you know, and you know, we might talk about things that amp up mitochondrial activity, you know, like NADH, you know, the NR, you know, NMN, things like high-dose coenzyme Q10. These are some of the mitochondrial enhancers, urolithin A potentially, although I don't think it's been studied in Parkinson's. You know, these are some of the ways that we can enhance mitochondrial activity, which might benefit the brain. Is there, you know, some of the newer ways of treating Parkinson's will involve like brain stimulation, which, is a, it's been done for a long time, but I think they're able to refining brain stimulation to, deal with some of the movement problems associated with Parkinson's.
Wow.
So, you know, right now, the problem is that medications can alleviate the symptoms. They don't get at the root cause of Parkinson's. We're looking for a root cause and not just symptomatic relief.
I mean, even the benefits of glutathione, it's like need a constant drip of glutathione to, okay. Lou, best of health to you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was shocked actually at the one of my good childhood friends. You know, I greeted him. I hadn't seen him for 5 years, and his hands were shaking, and he had a very low voice and kind of a little bit of an expressionless face. And I said right away, I said, you know, I thought to myself, you have Parkinson's disease. And he said, I said, how are you doing? And he goes, well, you might have noticed I have Parkinson's disease. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And you know, he's like my age or a couple of years older. So, I mean, it is, you know, an age-related phenomenon that's all too common. And we really need to be working on discovering root causes and addressing.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Really something. It is said to be having to do with toxic exposures. I think very lifelong.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
However, I don't know that he had per se a toxic exposure. It wasn't like he was a golf course maintenance guy, putting herbicides on the golf course.
Doing tool and die in the auto industry.
Exactly. Well, he had a white collar job, for his entire life. He was an artist, so he may have worked with paints. I didn't really quiz him on that.
Okay. All right. Best of luck to Lou.
Okay.
A reminder to everybody.
Yeah.
The email for questions is questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net.
Indeed. Well, let's get a full mailbag for next week. And as usual, Layla, it's a pleasure fielding questions with you. So.
Oh, likewise, Dr. Hoffman. This is great fun. We enjoy this.
Thanks for being
here. Yeah.
All right. And thanks, audience, for being there. Because that is basis for our weekly Q&A, your avid participation and interest. So we'll be back next week with more of Q&A with Layla. I'm signing off for this week. Listen to the rest of our podcast throughout the week in my live radio program, and also listen to Layla's contribution to our weekly podcast. It usually drops on a Friday.
Yep, where I weigh in on topics of interest.
Oh, that's clever. Layla weighs in.
Yes.
Very good. I'm Dr. Robert Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.